morning to each one of you, and welcome to this church service. So I guess between the whiteboard and what I posted on the Brethren's chat this morning, or yesterday, I already introduced what I plan to talk about, answering God's call. And as I said on the Brethren's chat yesterday, that song has, I don't know how many times I've listened to that song in the last number of months, but I guess the part about that song that is a challenge to me is that song talks about how easy it is in our Christian lives to be where we're at and just be satisfied to stay right there. And when God calls us to something more, or calls us in a way that calls us somewhere that's uncomfortable, we just want to stay where we're at, and we'd rather not answer that call. And if I would say everything that I have to say, we'd probably be here for a long time this morning. And as I kind of took the burden of my heart and went to put it down on paper, I realized that this subject is way bigger than you can cover in a half an hour. And I would just, I'd like to just share my burden. The challenge that I have this morning is that we would answer God's calls in our daily lives in a way that prepares us to answer God's final call in our lives. And the Hagee family was mentioned. It's probably right at the front of our thoughts right now. And, you know, Jalen received a call this week, and he had no choice but to answer that call. And a lot of the choices, or a lot of calls that we're going to talk about this morning, they're optional. We can choose to answer that call however we want to. Every one of us has a free will, and we can answer God's calls however we want to. However, the final call is one that we have no choice. We will answer that call. And so that brings a little bit of seriousness to this message this morning. And again, challenges that we would answer God's calls in our daily lives in a way that prepares us for God's final call. And when I was trying to decide where to go with this message this morning, I thought about, here on the whiteboard, getting you all to say, list names of people that received God's call, like Bible characters. And then I thought about it, I don't think there's a one that we wouldn't write up here. And as I thought about it some more, I thought, there's not a one of us, not a living person alive, that hasn't received God's call. I thought about it a little more, and I thought, there's not a day goes by that somebody, that we don't have a call from God. Is that fair to say? So that makes this message practical. When we think of getting calls, we get a lot of calls in a day's time. And we all have our cell phones. And my days with my job are spent mostly meeting with people or being around people or on the phone. And so I get a lot of phone calls, and if I'm doing something, I have to decide what I'm going to do with that call. And I remember when call waiting came out. I think maybe it was my grandparents had call waiting on their line. It was a service you had to pay for. And I remember my mom and dad fussing about how, you know, grandma or grandpa will get a phone call and they'll say, hey, just hold on, I have another phone call coming in. And they felt like it was almost like saying, you're not as important as the call I have coming in right now, so I'm going to put you on hold. Well, anymore, I imagine a lot of us use that call waiting fairly regularly. For the most part, I try not to take calls when I'm with somebody or on the phone with somebody else. Most calls can wait. However, there's some calls. Most of the time, when I'm in a meeting or with someone and I got a call from either my wife or one of the boys or one of the employees, I try to take it if I can, because I know that we use WhatsApp to communicate all the time, and if it's something that they could have easily WhatsApped me, they would have WhatsApped me. So when I when my wife calls me and I'm in a meeting or with someone, I'll hit the green button and I'll say, real quick. And in that time, she knows that she has, like, you know, 5 seconds to say what she has to say. And it's going to be, we're not going to be talking about the weather or anything. It's just what needs to be talked about, and we're done. And, you know, you probably all have a screen that looks like that when you, or something similar to that. There is, it looks like there's two options when that call comes in. Green, you take the call, or red, you decline the call, and it goes to voicemail. But in reality, there's four. I can let that call keep going, so it looks like, you know, and it just goes right into voicemail, so I can ignore it. Or I can flick up the screen from the bottom and hit another button that says, please text me, or can you call back later, or I'll call you back. So that's just, you know, it declines the call and sends them an immediate message so they know that, okay, I got your call, but I can't talk to you right now. And so we're familiar with calls. We're familiar with making a decision. What am I going to do with this call? Am I going to take it? Am I going to leave it? Am I going to ignore it? Am I going to decline it? Am I going to text back? Some calls in life are relatively unimportant. I'd like to look at some calls in life that are important this morning. And I have some of the calls that we'll get from God throughout our lives. And I don't plan to spend a lot of time on any one of these. But after number six, I would like to look at, how do I know if this is God's call? In other words, what does God's call even look like? And then also, you know, how might I respond to God's call? So I don't have a specific text this morning, but we will be turning to some passages as we go through the message here this morning. So the first one is the call to salvation. And that is one of the most important calls that we'll ever have to answer. And in Luke 19, this is the story about Zacchaeus. And we know that story very well, how this short little man ran up into the sycamore tree so he could see Jesus. And Jesus stopped right underneath that tree and said, Zacchaeus, you got to come down. I'm coming to your house. And that's, we don't hear much more what was said between Zacchaeus and Jesus until verse 8, when Zacchaeus gives his confession, I guess. He said, Lord, behold, half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus' response to him was, this day is salvation come to this house. And it doesn't say what all Jesus said to Zacchaeus before Zacchaeus replied. But one thing that I'm very sure about is Zacchaeus got a call. And I don't know what all Jesus told Zacchaeus to bring him to this point where he was like, I'm selling out, I'm accepting that call, I'm gonna follow Christ. Luke 5:32 says, I came not to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. This was Jesus' words. And more than anything else, God's desire is that men everywhere would be saved. And the story of salvation is so foundational, how how God loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross. And through this, God's call is to turn from sin and darkness to holiness and a new relationship with Christ. The second call we'll get is the call to repentance. And there's a sense that repentance and salvation go hand in hand, but there's also a side. Turn with me to Revelation 2. And verse 2. This is the angel, God, is talking to the church at Ephesus through the angel. And I would like to read verses 2 through 5, Revelation 2, 2 through 5. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. This was the call to the church of Ephesus to repent. And these were not sinners per se. These were people that had answered the call to salvation. They were children of God, but they needed the call to repentance. When God's children fail to closely follow God, choosing instead to fall for the devil's allurements, God is faithful in calling them back to himself. And God's desire is that his people he's a jealous God. He wants them to serve him, and he calls them to repentance. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. So the first call we receive is the call to salvation. Number two is the call to repentance. And the third is the call to relationship. In the New International Version, 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God desires a relationship with us, just like we as parents desire a relationship with our children. It's a call to follow him. It's a call to have a relationship with him. And Matthew 23, Jesus was just lambasting the Pharisees. And then later on in that chapter, he's talking to the same people. And he says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chicken under her wings, and ye would not. And Jesus was calling these people. He wanted to have a relationship with them. He loved them. In spite of all their hypocrisy and iniquity, he still wanted to have a relationship with them. And it's the same today. Jesus wants to have a relationship with his children. We have the call to salvation, call to repentance, call to relationship. Number four is the call to holiness. 1 Peter 1:13 to 16 says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And as God's children, God not only expects holiness, but he requires it. And in order for us to maintain a relationship with God, we must live a life of holiness and faithfulness. And he calls us to that. Number five is a call to service. in Isaiah 6:8, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then Isaiah said, 'Here am I, send me.'" And God calls us to service probably daily. And when there's calls to service, and when service opportunities present themselves, it's a call from God. Are we willing to serve in ways that might not be appreciated? And then the final call that I have, the last one in this list, is the call to witness. And you can turn with me to Acts 1. Acts 1, verses 4 through 8. This was at the very end of Jesus' life when he was getting ready to ascend back into heaven. And verse 4, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." And Jesus' last words to his apostles, his disciples, were, "Go be witnesses of me. Go tell others what you've seen. And go tell others about me. Be my witness." And that's what we're called to be today. God calls us to be witnesses. We don't need to be foreign missionaries to answer this call. We witness best to those we interact with on a daily basis. Challenge to us is to be the kind of person that models Christ to those around us. How do I know if I'm getting God's call? How do I know if God's calling me? I'd like to suggest four ways that God calls us today. And sometimes I think we read stories in the Bible of God coming out and clearly calling someone, "Go do this," and, you know, "I need you here." And maybe we think, well, we didn't receive God's call because we didn't hear anything like that in our lives. How does God call us today? Number one is his word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." Every time we open the Bible, God is speaking to us and calling us. And I'm a firm believer that when the preacher decides what they're going to preach about, and when the devotional leader decides what they're going to have devotions on, I'm a firm believer that God has a reason for that. And it's not just some loony idea you pull out of whatever you're going to preach about or have devotions about. And I think probably this morning, probably quite a few of us needed to hear what Johnny had to say about where are we at, where are our treasures at, where are we putting our focus in life. And that was God's call to us this morning. When we read God's word, whether it's in our devotional or when we hear it read at church or when we're faced with decisions, we know what God's word says. Through his word, God calls us through his word. Number two, God calls us through the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." And I'm not real good at explaining how everything works. Hard to explain things work, but we all have a conscience. Those of us that have accepted Christ into our lives have the Holy Ghost. I'm not sure exactly how all that works together and when it's our conscience working and when it's the Holy Ghost speaking to us. But when we feel a burden or a prompting or a sense of direction, that's the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we, when we lived down at the business, we lived there in the little log house, and we had a neighbor lady. Her name was Margaret, and she was a very eccentric old lady. She had lived a hard life. Her husband had not always treated her very well. He drank a lot, and Margaret became almost like a grandma to our boys. She just came over. She was the kind of lady that if we'd be gone and she'd see that it's going to rain, she'd come over and take the wash in and put it in on the table. And we, as strange and eccentric as Margaret was, we really became attached to her. And there were different times we'd be in the house and she'd come over and she loved to talk, and we'd talk about anything from the weather to church to, we had a lot of good conversations. The one thing that we never asked her point blank is what her standing was before God. And in January, I think it was January of 2020, one day my wife was just kind of, I don't know what she was doing when it, she just felt the burden that she should really ask Margaret where she is with. I mean, we've had conversations about God and church and spiritual things, and she just felt like she should ask Margaret, like, what is her standing before God? Like, are you ready to die? And she might have, I'm not sure exactly what to say she did with that call. Maybe she procrastinated on that call. And it was within a couple weeks where there was ambulance over at the neighbor's. And here she had been outside shoveling snow and went inside, and we think she had a heart attack. But she was dead in her chair. And I say that story because, you know, my wife often lives with a regret or a wish that she would have just said something when she felt that prompting. And I firmly believe that when there's times like that, that we know we should do something. It's God's call. And we can choose to just say, well, not right now, it's not convenient. Or we can say yes. And we can follow those promptings. And, you know, some of those things we can't do over. That's a call that my wife is never going to have again for Margaret. And, you know, it is what it is. Move on. But it's a challenge to us that when God prompts, we answer that call. So I have, how do we know God is calling us? Number one, His Word. Number two, His Holy Spirit, or our conscience. And number three, circumstances and events. And I had to think of the prodigal son and how it says he began to be in want. And that's when he remembered his father's house. And I believe that was just God calling the prodigal son through the circumstances he faced. I mean, He didn't have any desire to go back to his father's house when he was living it up and he had plenty of money and plenty of friends. But when there was hardship, God used that to take him back. God uses delays and detours in the circumstances of life to develop and speak to us. And there's plenty of times that things happen that are disappointing or that we don't understand what God's trying to do with us. And God uses these as his direction in our lives. God sometimes uses loss to refocus us and lead us in life. And I had to think about the story of Naomi and Ruth when they were down there. They lost their husbands. Their husbands all died. And through that all, they decided to move back to Israel. And through that all, Ruth became part of the lineage of Christ. You think they would have ever came back if her husband wouldn't have died? Well, of course not. But God worked through the circumstances of life. And as we face life, plenty of times God's call comes through open or closed doors. And the thing about those calls is so often if we want to, we can slam that open door shut or we can force that closed door open and pay little heed to it. And I guess the challenge for me is when I come across a closed door that I think this is the door I want to go through and the door closes in front of me, do I just, without a second thought, kick that thing open or do I just pause and say, okay, what is God trying to tell me here? God calls us through his word, through his Holy Spirit, through circumstances and events. Fourthly, he calls us through input from others. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And that's that. We can look at both sides of that. And we can look at when somebody comes to us and shares something with us or challenges us or maybe even through the preaching of the word or the service at church, we receive that input in our lives. That can be God calling us. But then there's the other side to look at that a man is sharpened through the countenance of his friend. Are we that person that will follow God's call and help to sharpen our friends? Are we the one that can give input into our friends' lives? So sometimes we might wonder as we go through life, probably everybody that's gotten to, the teenage years, maybe I should say 20, I don't know. But I think sometimes life gets more complicated the older you get. And sometimes we wish God's call would be more clear. And sometimes we might wonder, is this a call from God or isn't it? And I'd like to suggest that anytime we are confronted with a decision, especially if it's between right and wrong, or what I know I should do and what I want to do, that's a call from God. So in other words, when I get to a crossroads and I say, okay, should I do this or should I do this? And if I know what's right, I feel like that's God speaking to us, and that's a call from God. And there are many times that when we do what we know is right, sometimes there's hard decisions we need to make. We could do this over here or this over here, and the one isn't right or wrong. I do believe God blesses the decisions we make if we do so with a sincere heart and try to do what is best and do what we know is right. So we looked a little bit about some of the calls that we get from God. We looked a little bit about how God calls us. Now, last of all, I'd like to look at my response to God's call. Talked at the beginning about some of the options when you get a phone call. How do you answer that call? And to a certain point, a lot of that is the same when we get a call from God. In Isaiah, we looked at that earlier. The first response is simply, yes, Lord, and willing obedience. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And it was, hit the green button. Yes, I'll take your call. I'll do it. I don't know. It seems like maybe that's certainly not our natural tendency, is it? But that's what God wants. The second response that we might have is obedience with questions. And I think about Mary in Luke 1:38, when the angel came to her and said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. His name's going to be Jesus. He's going to save the world. And Mary's like, but I'm not married. How's this supposed to work? And the angel kept talking. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to thy word. And she paused a little bit before she hit the green button. But she had some questions, and she said yes. And I imagine most of us can identify with that as well. The third response that we might have to God's call is resisting or running from God's call. And probably there's no more clear example of that than Jonah. When he got God's call, and he said, no, I'm going the other direction. And he ran away from God's call, and we know that whole story. God continued to call him, and Jonah finally said, yes, I'll go. And sometimes when God calls us, the first time we understand that God is asking us to do something, we may be like, there is no way that I can do that. And our tendency might be to run the other way. Or let's remember that answering God's call brings peace when we agree to God's will for our lives. We submit to that. The other response that we might have is excuses. And I imagine there's no end to excuses why we wouldn't do what God is asking us to do. Maybe we're not good at it. Maybe we don't have enough money. Maybe we don't have enough time. Maybe people don't like us. We're scared of people. You know what your excuses might be. And remember when God called Moses out in the wilderness, and Moses said, go to Pharaoh. I'm slow to speak. I have a slow tongue. God said, who made your mouth anyhow? Wasn't it me? And Moses was still unwilling to go. And it said, God's anger was kindled against Moses. And he said, okay, take Aaron, your brother, and you tell him what to say, and he'll say it. And this was, Moses made excuses why he couldn't follow God's call. Another response we might have to God's call is procrastination. Acts 24, when Paul was before Felix, the very familiar word that Felix said, go thy way, for this time, when I have a more convenient season, I will call thee. And then few chapters later, when Paul was before King Agrippa said, almost you persuaded me to be a Christian. And these were men that God had called. God used Paul to speak to their lives. He called them. And they said, nah, maybe, but not today. And they procrastinated, and as far as we know, they never did answer God's call with a yes, a positive response. The last response I have that we might respond to God's call is refusal. And I had to think about the rich young ruler when he came to Jesus and he said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And you know what Jesus said? He gave him a list of things that he needs to do. He said, "Oh yeah, I've done all of them. I'm good there." And Jesus said, "Well, you lack one thing. Go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you're going to have treasure in heaven," like Johnny was talking about. But it didn't stop there. He said, "And then come and follow me." And we know that story. The rich young ruler went away sorrowful. And as I look at that rich young ruler, I look at him as somebody that said, "Yeah, I would love to experience eternal life, but I guess it's not for me because I'm not willing to do what Jesus asked of me." And that's a sad response when someone says, "Yes, I understand, but I'm not willing to do it." And the answer is no. So all of us are going to experience a call from God this week. And the question is, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to look at it and say, "Oh, yeah, ah, I can't do that." Or are we going to answer that call and say, "Yeah, I can do that"? Answering and obeying God's calls brings blessing, and failing to obey God's calls brings consequences. Then I'd like to close with the idea of God's final call. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." And God's final call to each one of us is going to be the call to leave this life, to our eternal reward. And our eternal reward or destination will be a consequence of how we answered God's calls throughout life. And if we answered God's calls when he called us, and we said yes, and we followed God's will, there will be heaven awaiting. And if we said, "Nah, some other time, we'll do it, but not today," there's going to be consequences for refusing God's calls. I'm gonna ask the song leader to lead us in one verse of the song "Softly and Tenderly," number 734. Gonna do something a little bit different, and just give a invitation song here at the end of the service. What kind of call are you receiving from God? And if you're here and you felt the call this morning, and you feel like you want to give your heart to the Lord, just raise your hand. And if you're here this morning and you feel like God's calling you to repentance or calling you in some way, maybe it can be a call to just deal with it the way you need to deal with it. Maybe you don't necessarily have to make a public answer to that call this morning, but if you feel like after the message you want to share a testimony, you're welcome to do that. So let's sing number 734.